I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hi there. I'm Nate Fisher, and this is Timeline Tapes, the history podcast made by the YouTube channel Timeline. Our channel has hundreds of extraordinary documentaries to enjoy, but we know that not everyone has the time to watch a full documentary in one sitting. So we're turning our favorite ones into podcasts that you can enjoy wherever you are. In this week's episode, we return to the story of two British RAF pilots, John Peters and John Nicol, who were shot down, captured, and tortured by Iraqi soldiers during the Gulf War of 1991. They continue to relive their experiences of the days that followed their capture, including persistent torture, being paraded on Iraqi television, and what it was like to be reunited with their families after being inside solitary confinement for so long. The narrator is writer and producer Mark Hallowley, and the episode was originally produced for Channel 4's Cutting Edge series as an exclusive interview in which both pilots broke their silence on the events that occurred.
Somebody else came in sometime later and, you know, said, what's your number, what's your rank, what's your name, where are you from? And then he said, well, it doesn't matter, Nicol, I know you're a navigator. And that strikes home when you think, well, it's not a difficult guess to make, you know, whether you're a pilot or a navigator. It's not unreasonable. They'd been guessing earlier down the line, trying to trick us. And so I said, I cannot answer that question. And he said, okay, I can tell you, navigator, that you fly tornadoes. Again, not a difficult guess to say that we were so deep inside Iraqi territory in tornadoes. And then he said, and I know you come from Bahrain. Again, all this was in the papers. So it's more and more worrying. He's getting at you now. You're thinking, where's this information come from? Conceivably, he could be guessing. Conceivably, he could have seen it in papers. Undoubtedly, there were television reports about, you know, a crew being shot down from Bahrain or whatever it was. And in the event, there was an awful lot of television reports about that. And an awful lot of information could be gleaned by the enemy from those press and TV reports. So again, you know, although I was concerned, I wasn't distraught by the whole thing. And then he said, I know you come here and refuel from your Victor tankers and drop your bombs from, you refuel from your Victor tankers at 10,000 feet, and then you come and drop your bombs on me. And I'm looking at him, and I think he knows that, you know, that he's found a little bit of a hook here. And then he said, and I also know that your attack didn't work and that you dropped your bombs in the desert. And then I knew that he'd obviously, the only person that this could have come off from was JP. And, you know, I just thinking to myself, you know, what have they done to him to make him tell them? And you're concerned, and I was very concerned for him, but I was thinking, what are they going to do to me to make me tell them? There seemed to be a change of a purpose to this one. They force you down onto the black vinyl tubular chair, and somebody said, what's your number? Quite slowly, what's your rank, what's your name? And then said, what squadron are you from? And I said, I cannot answer that. And half it got out. And then somebody felt, you know, like the world exploded in my head. Somebody hit me with a fist or a piece of wood or a club. I don't know what it was. But the lights just went out in my head and then came on again brilliantly. You know, there was the Milky Way was going off in there. And then somebody punched me in the face. It definitely felt like a fist. And then kicked me in the stomach or something. I don't know what it was. And while this is going on, the guy's trying to question you, but it's in the distance. You can't hear anything. You know, there's nothing there apart from somebody, you know, really working you over. And I was sitting feeling the blood dripping off my nose, and I could feel it hitting my flying suit, you know, through my flying suit, my chemical suit, long johns, and I could just feel it dripping down on there. And I thought, you know, this really is it. And then somebody dragged my boot off. I could feel somebody pulling at my boot, tearing my boot off. And then somebody was hitting my shin with, hitting my shin with an implement, you know, something sharp and something narrow. And then this, again, it went on. And then somebody grabbed hold of my hair and stuffed tissue paper down the back of my neck. And this was the worst thing, I think, that they did. Not what they did after that or anything that had gone before. The physical act of putting tissue paper down your neck, and you think, well, what the hell is going on? You're sitting there in a completely blindfolded, completely disorientated, however many thousands of miles from home, from everything that you know, from everything that you understand, and somebody has pulled your hair back, pulled your head back, and put tissue paper down your neck. And you think, what is he going to do? What is this for? What is going to happen? And that, if he'd asked me a question then, I think I probably would have given in then, but they didn't. He just lit the tissue paper at the back of my neck. It's enough, you know, this is enough now. This has gone on too far. Ask me another question and I'm yours. I've given in. You feel failure, you know. This is the second time in a short space of time, we presume it was a short space of time, that you failed in what you've been directed to do. So you feel a complete failure. You've let yourself down. You've let all of your comrades down. Would they have done the same thing in the situation? You know, would they have held on longer? Who else is in there in other rooms holding on longer? It's a total sense of failure.
In the ensuing interrogations, Peters and Nicol avoided giving away anything of military value. But their ordeal was far from over.
We'd been there for a day or so, I suppose, in this corridor, and I was kind of asleep, and they suddenly kicked you up, and you sat up, and you had four or five guys around you, and you were just standing over you, and they came down and said, you're a war criminal. And I said, no. I said, you're a war criminal, you've killed women and children, and we're going to shoot you. And I said, no. And they said, we will put you on television as a war criminal. I said, no. And they say, if you do not go on television, we will kill you. And I said, no. And they said, you will go on television as a war criminal. I said, no. I kept on refusing. And each time they kept on kind of punctuating it with a bloody slap around the face or hitting me. And then they said, right, you know, you will never see your wife or children again. And they started picking me up and they just put a gun against my head. And I just thought, well, shit. You know, because the only way you can fight them at that stage is to survive. And I said, okay.
I said, I've committed no war crimes. And he said, yes, you have. You've attacked a country that hasn't declared war on you, so we can execute you for this. He said, or you can go on TV. And it wasn't a hard decision for me to make. Although, you know, I didn't want to do it. There was no way that I was going to be taken out the back and put up against a wall and shot for the simple act where I could go on TV and not do it. And the reason, my reasoning for this, right or wrong, was that I'd always expected this to happen at some point. And they had already used the civilian hostages on TV. There's that appalling scene of the little boy being used on TV, and it just brought outrage to the world. And I thought, well, you know, if you do this, hopefully it'll do the same thing. And of course, I was going to be able to tell people at home that I was alive, which I was convinced, you know, that they were, there's no way that these Iraqis were going through the Red Cross. I was, you know, this was my way of getting a message home to say I was alive, and that was a concern for me as well.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to Timeline Tapes. We've just heard how the persistent torture of pilot John Peters led to both men's inevitable admissions to Iraqi soldiers. We rejoin the story as both men are forced to go on live television and admit who they are or face the ultimate sacrifice.
They asked us a prepared list of questions, going through, you know, what aircraft it was that we flew, etc.
Tornado.
Pilot here, pilot tornado. Al-Qaeda latim parata minha. Base of mission.
Maharik Bahrain.
And I tried to answer them as stilted as possible, and also to use the exact words that they used, which weren't making, you know, grammatical sense and things, to try to show that I was under duress.
To an attack in Iraqi airfield.
How you have been shot down?
I was shot down by an Iraqi system. I do not know what it was.
What do you think of this war against Iraq?
I think this war should be stopped so we can go home. I do not agree on this war with Iraq.
And then at the end, they said, you can send a message home now, or do you want to send a message home? It was incredibly difficult to stand there, to sit there and send the message home. It was very, very moving for me.
Do you have a message to be sent?
Mum and Dad, if you're listening, everything is okay here. Please pray for me. We should be home soon.
Eventually, they just got my name and rank that I was shot down by a missile and I'd bombed an airfield. And that's where you win. because I say your body doesn't look good, but in your mind, you've won because they want you to do something and you haven't done it. Okay, you've gone on TV, but you hadn't done what they wanted you to do.
Your age?
29.
Right.
I made sure my eye was towards the camera as best I could, and look down and not look at the camera. They said you can have a personal comment, and that's I suppose that you get, having had the thought of suddenly you were going to display yourself to Helen, I suppose, and I thought, you know, this is probably the last time she's going to see me, and it's like this, it's not honourable. So, I kind of said, Helen, Tony and Guy. And then, I wanted to say something to my mother and father, but I couldn't, it was,
Do you have a message?
Tony and Guy, I love you. Mother and father.
After their television appearance, the Iraqis locked them away in solitary confinement. Their weeks of isolation ended abruptly on the 23rd of February.
We suddenly heard this bomb incoming and we thought, shh. And then the whole world just, I mean, this was a really strong building and the whole world just, you know, blew apart. I mean, you kind of, the whole building just shook and it was complete blackness and an incredible, a massive noise. And then followed by another one.
I thought, you know, my God, we're the target this time. You know, this just isn't close. We are actually being bombed here. And I scrambled out of my sleeping bag, put the old sand shoes, the trainers on that they'd given me. Tried to tie them around my feet with some string. And I'd also managed to trick them into giving me more water than usual. So I had a bowl of water there as well, which I was planning to have my first wash for 4 weeks with that. And I sat that beside me in case there was a fire. God knows what I was going to do with it. And then with the food bowl that they'd left, I padded that out with some blankets and I sat with that on my head in some vain hope of protecting myself from the falling masonry. My life flashed past my eyes when that second bomb came in, definitely. I thought, you know, I was lifted bodily up off the floor and I was suspended in midair, if you like. And it seemed to take forever to get back down again to the floor. I thought, the floors had come in and I was falling through the building or something. That's when taken in context with being hit by a missile, being shot out of the sky, being directly hit by Allied bombs comes fairly close to the edge.
Eventually, one guy whose cell got blown open, so he got out of his cell and he managed to open the little food hatches and allowed us to talk along. So I screamed out, John, John, John Nicol, are you there? And it bounced down the corridor And her back, yeah, John, you're okay. And after that, you don't have to ask anything of your mate because you know he's there, you know he's okay. So that, and all I could think of, I said, I bet you're not a anymore. And he said, no, I'm sitting here with a plastic bowl on my head and all over the floor.
On the 4th of March, 4 days after the war ended, John Peters was released by the Iraqis and driven to Jordan. He'd been imprisoned for 47 days, more than 40 of them in total isolation. John Nicol was freed the following day and flown to Riyadh. And then on to Cyprus.
At Riyadh, we got changed over onto an RAF Hercules for the onward journey. And when I got on there, one of the loadmasters came up and said, you know, you need to look at this this newspaper. And it had John's release in there and all of the press furore that had been caused by all of this and how he was on the front page of all of the papers all around the world. And it also said that people still didn't know where I was. And that my parents didn't know if I was alive or dead, and that they were just, you know, barricaded behind their door at home waiting for news. And that, you know, they were... You could tell from the article and the way the newspaper was written that they were just being harassed by the media. It felt, for me, it felt that they were having 30 times harder. It felt for me that they were having a much harder time, you know, than I was of the whole thing, because they didn't know if I was alive or if I was dead. At least I knew, you know, what was going on. They just had no information at all. And it was an appalling feeling to sit helplessly on an aircraft and, you know, not be able to say, you know, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm okay, you don't need to worry anymore. And I just broke down sitting on the aircraft.
Well, the first thing, obviously, I wanted to do in Cyprus was phone Helen. So had to use phone card. I couldn't believe we had to use phone cards. And the chief of the hospital gave me a phone card, and I said, "No, can I have two, please?" And I got two phone cards, and I went along the corridor, and there was just a phone in the corridor, and it was all very quiet, and he left me, and I phoned home, and Taj answered, a guy on the squadron. I said, "What the bloody hell are you doing there?" Because it was about 3 o'clock in the morning back in Germany, and he said, "Oh, we're all celebrating. I'll go get Helen," and I think Helen must have been quite drunk because first thing she said, you know, was, "I said hi, it's me," and she said, "Have you still got your balls?"
When we arrived at Cyprus, the first thing I wanted to do was get to a telephone, and they eventually managed to get me a telephone and a line out, and the call was intercepted by the British telecom operators, and this had been because that the people had been phoning them constantly, the press had been on the phone constantly, asking for news, asking for information, asking for comments, and so they'd had to have an intercept put on the line so people couldn't get through, and I couldn't speak to the BT operator, she couldn't hear me. And so I was getting more and more frustrated, more and more upset, and eventually managed to get through to my brother, who lives in London, and I spoke to him and his wife on the phone. And, well, when I say spoke to him and his wife on the phone, you know, I held the phone in my hand, and we couldn't really say anything, you know. I mean, it was just to hear my a family voice on the phone was too much for me.
One of my big fears during captivity was Guy was going to forget me, because he was of that age, so I thought he was going to not remembering, but Helen was standing on the steps holding Tony, who by this stage looked twice, you know, huge into what I saw last time. And Guy just ran down the stairs along the path, and, you know, Daddy, Daddy. And that was very good. You know, so I just picked him up and I hugged him. And Helen, we just kind of stood and hugged for a while. And then we went into the building and had some champagne. And then, you know, just really back to normal, really. I mean, you have, as I say, your moments are very short. And then you resume your sort of a lifestyle. So we had some champagne. And then we went out and did the photo call with the press.
Thanks for listening to Timeline Tapes. That's it for the final part of Tornado Down and the story of pilots John Peters and John Nicol. Join us next week as we turn our attention to Greek mythology and the island of the legendary Minotaur. If you want to experience more of today's story, you can watch it on our YouTube channel, along with hundreds of other documentaries. If you want to reach out to Timeline Tapes, you can email us at timeline@little.studios.com. And you can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Those are both at @timelinewh. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review too. I've been Nate Fisher, and this has been Timeline Tapes. Let's go down in history together.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.